Christopher Bennett joins me in the studio tonight. He is a science fiction writer and lives right here in Cincinnati. He's the author of the novel Only Superhuman, which was voted Library Journal's Science Fiction Debut of the Month, and a short story collection, Hub Space, Tales from the Greater Galaxy. We're going to talk about his collection of stories titled Among the Wild Cybers, as well as his Star Trek tie-in novels tonight. Welcome, Christopher.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Let's start with a glimpse into the alternate kind of universe you create with a reading from Among the Wild Cybers.
Among the Wild Cybers of Cybele. From the journals of Saphira Kimenye, 14-13-004 Anno Cybelei, 10 November 2250, Solstice equivalent date. During today's foraging, the loggers were attacked by a fan dancer. They must have intruded onto its territory. The vertebrates don't hunt by magnetic fields, so it couldn't have found them appetizing. This was a large species of fan dancer with sharp tusks and a bony club at the end of its tail. It inflicted some damage, mainly on Bunyan, ever the bold and reckless one. Galadriel called a retreat. I picked up the signal on my earphone, but the biped hounded us relentlessly. Perhaps its terror at the alienness of the loggers drove it to such violence. So the loggers lured it onto a compass rose. With my more limited senses, I couldn't detect the sedentary arthropod. Its chitin camouflage blended perfectly with the grass. I saw them luring the dancer toward a particular patch of ground, but I was startled when that patch snapped shut, leaving a bare starburst pattern in the grass and trapping the fan dancer inside a nearly solid, spherical cage of segmented limbs.
Thank you. Christopher, if you would, tell us a little bit about a vision, I guess I would call it, that you came up with that has to do with commercial asteroid mining and how these stories connect with each other in Among the Wild Cybers.
Well, I guess you're talking about the overall backstory of the shared universe that all but one of the stories in this collection are part of, along with my novel, Only Superhuman. I wanted to do a realistic take on superheroes, which is something that's usually approached as fantasy. I was intrigued by the potential for bionics and genetic engineering to give people essentially real superpowers. And I've always been inspired by the idea of superheroes, of people who have great power and use it only to help others. And I liked the idea that it might be real someday. And so I wanted to come up with a plausible scenario for that. And so I've always tried to ground my science fiction in plausible ideas, and sometimes a lot of my best ideas have come from starting with a scientific idea. For instance, in Among the Wild Cybers of Cybele, the title story that I just read from, what would happen if robotic probes that were built to self-replicate on an alien planet so they could reproduce themselves essentially from native materials, what if they started to evolve like animals? And I was intrigued by that possibility, and that's what led to the story. A lot of people think that if you ground yourself in science, it's limiting in what your imagination can come up with. But I found that following science where it leads can take us to ideas we never would have thought of if we relied only on our own imaginations building on what we already knew, because science has revealed so many new things that are beyond the wildest dreams of previous fiction.
I understand that you really, almost all your life, I mean, you started very early, very young, having these ideas about, do we call them alternate universes? Mm-hmm. Give me the right terms here.
Well, just fictional universes, speculative.
And were you at 5 when you first started envisioning these?
I was 5 when I first saw Star Trek and was introduced. I mean, I didn't even know what outer space was at that point. I thought the Starship Enterprise was this weird-looking plane that only flew at night. So when I saw Star Trek and was introduced to space and science fiction, it just opened up the whole universe for me, and I was hooked. And fortunately, I had parents who encouraged learning. I've a number of professors in my family, and so I was encouraged to learn about that and read science fiction, read science. I was around 13 when I realized that the daydreams I was having playing with I had this set of Star City building blocks, like you built, sort of like Legos, but more futuristic looking. And I played with my made up cities that I built and the pipe cleaner aliens that inhabited them. And one day I imagined this whole story, not actually physically playing with the toys, but just sort of sitting there looking at them. I told myself this whole story from beginning to end, and I realized I wrote a story. I'm a writer. At that moment, I knew what I wanted to be for the rest of my life. Although I've never actually written that story down, and I don't know if I even remember it anymore. So. Probably wasn't very good.
You've mentioned Star Trek, which has been, I think, ongoing importance in your life. So what are tie-in novels? And you've focused a lot on those, I think, in recent years, haven't you?
Yes. Well, tie-in novels are basically a form of merchandise. They're something that's put out and sold to help promote the original work. But in this case, there are stories that are written as if they're set in the reality of a TV series or a movie series. Sometimes they are just adaptations of the stories you see on the screen. They're usually not counted as a genuine, full-fledged part of the universe. Sometimes they are, but as a rule, I like to say that if the original movies or TV series or whatever you're adapting is the history of that universe, then tie-in fiction is basically the equivalent of historical fiction. Conjectures of things that might have happened. And we have to be consistent with the on-screen continuity, but they don't have to be consistent with us. The only times that you see tie-in books or comics or whatever that are really in the same universe, the same reality as the thing they're based on, is if the original creators themselves have the time to oversee that directly, which has not generally been the case in Star Trek. The people at CBS, the studio that owns the Star Trek franchise, they've put a lot of faith in us at Pocket Books, which publishes my Star Trek novels, to handle coming up with these stories on our own. And of course, they have to prove everything we think up, and we have to run it by them and get their okay that, yes, this is compatible with our continuity and our vision. But they generally trust us to handle that ourselves and come up with something that feels like it could be part of the main universe, even though it technically isn't.
And you have one coming up, which is called The Captain's Oath. Do you want to give us a little bit of an overview of it?
Actually, this is going to be my first Star Trek novel in the larger trade paperback format. It's set in the original series, the one that started way back in 1966 with Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock and all those guys on the Starship Enterprise. One thing I like to do in my novels is to explore the parts of the Star Trek storyline that sort of fill in the gaps, that tell the stories that haven't been told, or at least haven't been told often. And what interested me, there was a brief, very, very brief mention in one of the pilot episodes, one of the first episodes they made, of a command that Captain Kirk had before the Starship Enterprise. And the book from 1968, The Making of Star Trek, which was the sort of the authoritative reference work that Star Trek's creator Gene Roddenberry collaborated in writing, it said that Kirk's first command was a destroyer equivalent, meaning a smaller ship than the Enterprise, which is sort of the equivalent, the really big carrier or battlecruiser sort of thing. And we've seen nothing on screen, what's called the canon, about that earlier command, and it's hardly ever been explored in the books, so I wanted to really get into that, what Kirk did before the Enterprise.
I'm delighted that you shared your universe with us tonight, and thanks for being with us on Around Cincinnati.
Ah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
I've been talking with Christopher Bennett about his collection of short stories titled Among the Wild Cybers and his latest Star Trek tie-in novel titled The Captain's Oath. You'll find more information at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray. Thank you.